Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to Chicken Country Joe the Chicken Show at All Paws Pet Talk. My name is Karen Watts, Karen at petoftheday.com, and we are here with Joe Barber, also known as Country Joe the Chicken Guy. Welcome.
Hey, here we go. Another week, another fun radio show. This week we got Elaine on here, and Elaine is the backyard poultry lady, the magazine. Of course, everybody who has poultry, I think, knows this magazine by heart. We all have subscriptions to it. I know I do, and most of my club members do. And we want to talk to Elaine and talk about different people getting started in chickens and, you know, how Elaine got into this and the need for the magazine. Obviously, we need one, and how handy it is. And Elaine, did, we were talking the other day when I was talking to you. Tell me how you came about getting this magazine going. You know, what prompted you?
Backyard Poultry Magazine is one of four magazines that we publish at Countryside Publications. We already had magazine on sheep, a magazine on goats, and a magazine on country living in general. The Backyard Poultry Magazine had actually existed in the late 70s and early 80s and was incorporated into the Countryside Magazine in the middle 80s. In 2005, we just really noticed the rise in interest in poultry and decided that it was time to bring the Backyard Poultry Magazine back and make it available for the readers again. So we did start the magazine in the February of 2006, and originally we printed 15,000 copies of the magazine for our first issue and ended up going back to print three times and printing 45,000 copies. So wow. Interest was far beyond our expectations, even though we tried to plan and look at, you know, the audience and stuff. It was just amazing right off the start how excited people were about having a magazine on raising poultry.
Wow. And, you know, all the research and demographics you can do doesn't tell you the truth of who's out there for real.
Right. God. Well, in the first, I mean, we were seeing commercials on TV with birds in them. And, you know, I mean, you're like, what in the world? Why are they showing chickens as part of a commercial? Then additionally, our Countryside Magazine is on country living. And we had done a survey of the readers and discovered that like 80% of our readers also raised chickens. And
amazing.
So just in that, you know, 100,000 people, we realized we had an excellent audience.
Wow. And now is it still growing, Elaine?
Over the last 7 years, the magazine went from about 40. Well, we started with about 30 subscribers. You know, we had more than that request the magazine, but we started with about 30,000 subscribers. And we currently print about 130,000 copies of the magazine. So over those, we're just starting our seventh year. It just keeps on rising and rising.
Mm-hmm. So that tells us that it's still growing. It hasn't peaked out yet, right?
Right. I don't believe that the interest has peaked out, particularly in the urban areas where people are discovering and raising chickens as pets.
Yes. As a matter of fact, tonight on our local news, I saw another small town just outside of Orlando has it in their city council where they want to pass the ordinance where you can have, I think it's up to 10 hens, if I'm not mistaken, in DeBary, Florida. There's a big deal going on about that, but they've passed it in a lot of towns. So I noticed that there more and more towns are going along with the people because everybody, I know around here, people call me all the time about having hens in their backyard. And we had talked to Elaine about how easy it is. I mean, even a converted doghouse will work for a few chickens.
And, right. And most of the city laws say 4 to 6 hens. Having 10 is pretty unusual, but 4 to 6 is really enough for a family anyway in a community.
Right. And part of the reason
you get 3 eggs a day,
yeah,
you know.
And part of the reason was you were telling me that people want to take control of other food, you know. We didn't want commercial eggs anymore because we didn't know what they were feeding them or whatnot. And this way here, we can feed them and know what we're getting.
Right, and a part of that is that people are really disgusted with the commercial factories as well, and they just don't want to support that, whether that's for meat birds or for eggs. You know, they realize just how small the cages are and that these birds, you know, live in there for 16 months, and that's it, and they never get out of the cage, and they're very tight. I mean, some of them can't even stand up, the birds and stuff. So people are really put off by that, and that's, I believe, one of the reasons that it's become such an interest. There are a couple other things, you know, the whole going green and locavore movement, and, you know, people want to start buying or are buying products that are within, you know, a certain distance, driving distance, or even, you know, the farmers markets are hugely popular now because they want to support the local areas, and they want that food that hasn't been sprayed with so many things in order to, you know, to keep it healthy or alive for eating. And really, how much more local can you get than raising them in your own backyard?
Yep.
There are a couple other reasons. I think some of it is the fear. You know, we've seen spinach, we've seen eggs. Now, you know, it seems like one thing after another is being poisoned, or, you know, we're just terrified almost at what we can buy and where. And so, you know, getting the eggs from home is definitely a nice and safe feeling for you. Another reason is that as people are retiring, they're moving to hobby farms, and we have a huge population of people retiring. They don't, you know, they don't want to have cows and big animals like that, but you can have a flock of chickens in your backyard very easily. And being able to travel for a couple days, you can give food and water to your birds, you know, that will last 3 or 4 days, so you don't have to worry about letting them out of the house and stuff like that. So those are all some reasons, but I think that the biggest reason that's rarely mentioned is really that chickens are extremely fun and entertaining to have around, and most people don't recognize that. They remember, you know, either the commercial bird farms that they've seen, or maybe something scary on grandma's farm, the rooster coming after them or something like that.
Yes,
but in reality,
yes,
a couple hens is extremely enjoyable to have around. And the children can be involved in the care of them just like a dog or a cat. And chickens become friendly enough that when they see you, they'll come sit on your lap. Or I think, Joe, you mentioned that the one of your birds comes and sits on your shoulder anytime you go out there. Is that right?
Yeah, I have several that do that. Now, you know, it's like monkey see kind of thing, you know. Now they get on my shoulder, and then I wind up with about 3 or 4 on my shoulder or on my lap.
Shoulder pads like a linebacker. You know, we're almost running out of time for this segment, Elaine and Joe. Elaine, will you stick with us? Because I'm sure we have more to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'd love to. Thank you for asking me.
Excellent, because I know we've had chickens on Pet of the Day, too, so I know what great pets they can be. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe the Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe Chicken Show with on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We're here with Country Joe, of course, Joe Barber, and with Elaine, who is the editor of Backyard Poultry Magazine.
Yeah, and Elaine, you were talking about raising a few eggs, and that's how I originally got into this, and I bought a dozen chickens, and I had too much eggs every week, so I was sharing it with my neighbors, and the next thing you know, it just started to get out of hand, and this whole hobby just got way out of hand, which I'm glad, because I'm having more fun with it than ever. But now I sell my eggs at the farmer's market, and I do, believe it or not, I was figuring up my books here the other night. I did 110 dozen last week, and I don't have an egg left. So everybody in this town knows me, and they just love my eggs. And I put in a little paper that I had written telling people, dear egg customer, and telling them about how my chickens are cage-free and how I feed them vegetables and grain that is not contaminated and the whole thing. And, my gosh, it's just mushroomed. And I get people that buy 3 and 4 dozen a week. It's just amazing. And like I said, it surprised me when I was sitting here and I'm looking at 100 dozen a week going out of this place. And I know I could do more. And my God, my wife says, no more coops.
Right. You could do more, but you do want to keep the marriage going. So perhaps this is a good point to stop.
And then the thing got out of hand when I got into these rare chickens, which just fascinates me so much that I started out with one coop, and now I had just started. This here's a real good one. I just started. I'm building an 80-foot long coop that's going to be in 12-foot segments with different breeds of rare chickens. So I just started that. So here we go. So I'm going to start raising rare chickens and hopefully selling them. So that's my other hobby on top of my hobby with chickens. This is how this got out of hand with. Started with a dozen chickens for myself to have fresh eggs.
Well, it's easy for that to happen because they are such a joy to have around. A lot of what rare breeds are you raising, and what influenced you to decide to raise rare breeds?
Well, I was reading an article, and I came across these golden campines. And I thought, wow, boy, I want those. And they were talking about how they came from 57 BC and beyond. Julius Caesar brought them from Belgium back in 57 BC. And I thought, wow. And these were really critical, almost extinct. So I said, boy, I'm going to get me some of those. So I bought some of them, and I didn't have very good luck with them. I only have one pair left, but I hope they hang on, but I'm going to get more. And then I was reading about the white face black Spanish, another critical one. And they're all black and with a white face. And so I thought, well, I fell in love with those. So I said, I got to have some of them. So I've got, I think, 9 of those right now. But it's just
a beautiful bird.
Yeah. And every time I start reading about these rare chickens and how many have gone extinct on us and whatnot. And I thought, I'm going to do my part because I just love my golden campine and my Spanish. And there's so more, like the red cats. Those are an unusual breed that I just got to own. So that's why I started building my new coop, and it just doesn't end. I don't know. So that's what got me going into it, is reading a little bit about it. And there's not, Elaine, maybe you could direct me, other than Dr. Everett, Charles Everett. I just joined his club, and I haven't heard back yet because it's been so new. But he's into the rare chickens and breeding rare chickens. I can't wait to talk
right,
to
and
him.
That's the SPPA, which is the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. And that actually has been the association has been around about 80 years. And is very involved in helping people to get involved in the rare breeds. Even people who want to raise breeds for meat feel, well, gee, I don't want to be raising rare breeds and then killing them for processing them. But in reality, anybody who wants an interest or has an interest in the rare breeds helps that breed become more common and more desired, and the more that are being produced, the less extinct, of course, or less hazardous it is for those birds. So even if they're raised for processing, because some of the rare breeds are meat birds, you're still helping to bring the rise in that. The American Livestock Breeder Conservancy is another excellent organization. They go by ALBC, you know, if you're looking for them on the net or something like that. The mm-hmm. SPPA and the ALBC both are wonderful organizations committed to rare breeds. SPPA is poultry specific, and the ALBC is involved in all rare breeds of animals, including, you know, certain cows and pigs, and but they're quite extensive in the poultry area and have a ton of good information on their website. The Backyard Poultry Magazine also has a lot of good articles on rare breeds, on cooking chicken. You know, rare breeds are cooked a little different because mm-hmm. they grow slower. And a lot of other good articles out there. And then we do have links like to the SPPA and other organizations that people can, you know, it's an easy place to start at thebackyardpoultrymag.com, and then they can look and see a ton of different organizations that are linked and decide what works for them, what breeds work for them.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
is that thebackyardpoultrymag.com?
Yep, MAG, short for magazine.
Okay, so
or
you
can
put
do just a find for Backyard Poultry Magazine too, and it'll pop. That'll pop right up. We have an excellent library. I probably have 300 or 400 articles on health and housing and how to build coops and you know, just a ton of different things related to poultry, including a lot of fun articles. Our magazine is about half reader written, meaning our subscribers send in articles about their life with chickens and helpful hints and things like that that have worked for them. And then a lot of times they send fun stories as well and just some humor and enjoyable things. Today I received an email that reminds me again of why I love doing this magazine. And a woman had sent in that her grandmother has about 80 chickens, and one of this woman's daughters is like 9 years old and has taken an interest in these chickens. And so every free time she has, she's going out to her great-grandmother's house and hanging around with her and doing things with the poultry. So she's learning about livestock. She's learning about care of animals. She's learning about her ancestors and growing a bond with her great-grandmother. And I don't think it can get any better than that.
Well, I guess not. That is great. Yeah.
Raising a whole new generation of poultry people.
It is.
Well,
it,
and also, you know, I don't know really how many very young children spend time with their great-grandparents. I mean, yes, we go there for the holidays or whatever, but to have a common bond and just being together, you're spending that time with someone in your family and learning, you know, a lot more than just even about the animals, but about your own family and that kind of stuff too, which I think is tremendous. And I think that happens whether you have the four hens in your backyard or 400. And because, like I said, the chickens are so entertaining. People tell me constantly that they don't even turn their TV on in the summer. They just go sit outside and watch their birds' antics. And, you know, you have your children out there doing that with you and helping to take care of the animals. Because they're small enough and they're not scary. they become friendly with them. So it also creates some bonds. And then the showing world, there is poultry shows all over the country. 4-H is involved in it, but also small associations do it. And these children learn a lot of skills and stuff like that by getting their birds ready and then doing the competition. And anytime you do a show competition, you have to do a stewardship, and that means understanding about the birds and like learning the parts of the birds and stuff like that. So they're learning some biology. So there's a lot of really good things that having a couple chickens can do for your family and for your children.
It's
That's
true.
Right. You know, and we are almost out of time for this segment. Elaine, will you stick with us for one more?
Sure. Thank you.
Sure. I'm sure we have more to talk about, especially with
tons.
Chicken shows, and I know Joe could talk forever. We'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm a green chicken.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And Country Joe, we're here with Elaine from Backyard Poultry Magazine.
And wow, are we learning a lot. It's really, really interesting. I'm telling you, I'm really enjoying this. This is a lot of fun. And we were talking about how entertaining chickens are. I have lawn chairs out by my coops. I have like four huge coops, and I sit in the middle, and I can sit there until dark just watching these chickens chase bugs around, and it's just like chicken tag. That's what I call it. One will get the bug, and the other one will pull it out of its beak, and they run, and then somebody else gets it, and they run the other way. I just never get tired of watching these chickens, and it's a lot of fun and a lot of laughing. You know, I just sit there by the hour and watch this, and I hardly get any work done when I get into this sitting there. But my neighbors come over, and we sit there and just talk chickens and chickens and chickens. Next thing I know, my neighbor who had no chickens now has chickens. So I guess I'm contagious when it comes to that, I guess. I don't know.
And as Elaine was saying with getting the child learning from her great-grandmother, you know, things you can learn from an elderly relative of yours who knew your mother when she was a kid and could tell you stories about that.
Yep.
That is so much richer information, what she's telling you about chickens, than you're ever going to get from a textbook.
It's true. And you hear about everything that they used to do. It just brings them to talk about the old times, you know, and that's what I really enjoy. And I'm sure, you know, Elaine, God, we could just go on and on for hours. I was just reading this new your new magazine that just came out this month, and the lady on the cover, we were talking about her. Now, how old is she? Do you know?
I do not remember exactly, but I know she was in her 80s.
Uh-huh. And is she anybody that you know, or we just
– Oh, no. We have a photo contest. Our subscribers send in contests. Or, you know, pictures of their poultry and their anything related to chickens or other poultry, and then each issue the cover is picked from the photos that we receive. So this one was sent in by a subscriber, and it was she states that it was her mother's smile in remembering the memories of her growing up on a farm. I don't believe she included the age in it, but
Well, her mother may have told her she wasn't allowed to. Some older ladies are like,
yeah, it's just everybody from, you know, 2-year-olds and to 90-year-olds are enjoying raising the chickens and getting back that feeling of back to the land and back to nature and stuff like that. So, if there are a lot of your readers listeners, Joe, currently raise chickens, or is it more people who are thinking about doing it?
Well, I have a lot of I joined this chicken club. This Nancy started this chicken club, and she put out flyers at our grain store, and I joined it. And she started out with just a couple members, and now I guess we're almost up to 200 members, and this thing is not even a year old.
And just local.
It's just local. And once a month, what we do is we have a get-together at everybody's different places, and they have like a cookout, and everybody just gets together and is just talking chickens. So naturally, they've been after me now, you know, and now it's my turn to do it. So I guess I'm going to be doing one in December, I guess. And that's the way it's looking now. But we just got this club up and going, and I've been helping Nancy do this. And Nancy is just having a lot of fun doing this, raising chickens. And she's doing the same thing that I'm doing. You know, we get chickens, and next thing you know, we got more chickens. Next thing we know, we got more chickens. And another lady down the road from me bought a great big incubator. And now she's hatching her own eggs, and she just enjoys it. And she says, when you get eggs, bring them to me because I want to hatch them. She just loves hatching eggs. And she just hatched a whole bunch of guineas, gave some to my neighbors. It's not even a money thing. It's just she just enjoys it so much. But the chicken club, we all support each other, and when we have questions or problems, we call each other. And, wow, it's that's really worked out. That's something that Nancy and I talked about on a previous show about how people in different states could get together. She started it out, I think, on Facebook, or I don't remember. Do you, Karen, remember she was talking about
that? Yeah, she started it on Facebook and thought that she would be the only member, but she started it, and her chicken was the first chicken on there, and then it just grew and grew like flocks of chickens tend to do.
Yeah. So.
And, you know, Elaine, my husband and I run a website called petoftheday.com, and we have had chickens nominated for Pet of the Day from all sorts of – all different parts of the world, all different kinds of chickens. And I can tell you a friend of mine was raising some chickens with her little boy in Malden, which is a very urban suburb of Boston. I'm the Massachusetts representative here on All Paws Pet Talk. And she was so worried that her oldest boy would learn that the word chicken started with an expletive before it because they kept escaping and she would have to chase them down the street with her 2-year-old in one hand and trying to chase chickens with the other. And she was so worried he was going to show up to kindergarten. The teacher would show a picture and she'd say, "What is this?" And he'd raise his hand and say, "I know, that's a beep, beep chicken."
That's a darn chicken. Well, and there is a secret to not having that problem, and that is by raising heavier breeds of chickens. They can't fly as easy as the lighter breeds, and so they are actually, you know, on the ground and less crazy as the lightweight breeds.
Do you have anything that you would recommend more for urban situations like that?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a certain breed or breeds that you'd recommend for, you know, small backyards in an urban situation?
No. I think that people who are raising them should look at a book or a website that shows the hundreds of different breeds. There's probably about 160 breeds available in the U.S. They should look at that and decide what appeals to their eye, because any hen is going to lay it's not really an egg a day, but it lays like one every 27 hours. Some are bred to lay even more than that, like the Leghorns. Those are the commercial birds. But other than that, we're not really raising that 24 to 27 hours matters. So I suggest they get the birds that appeal to their eye the most. But there are some breeds that are more calm than others, and that, again, is almost always because of the larger size of the birds. They're just not as flighty as the lighter-weight birds. And some real popular ones that I'm aware of are Orpingtons. They're a very calm and gentle breed, and they become friendly very quick. Brahmas are like that. Wyandottes and the Plymouth Rock birds are all bigger birds, and they're calmer birds. Mm-hmm. So those are some that I recommend, but I really think people should say, what do they want, what looks good to their eye, and what do they want in their backyard, because all of the hens will lay eggs.
That sounds fun. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I was looking at those Jersey Giants. Those are supposed to be the biggest hens. Now, Elaine, somebody was telling me that they can get a Jersey Giant to go 20 pounds. Have you ever heard that?
I don't know off my head the weight of them. They are the largest breed of chicken, though, and they are big. They are meat birds, are generally raised as meat birds because of their large size. But they are a slow grower and take a long time to mature. So and they're great foragers, so they're good birds that if you're going to raise birds for meat, you want them to get most of their stuff naturally. And they are good foragers and go out in your area and get a lot of their feed stuff on their own without you having to just feed them, chicken feed constantly.
Right. Are there any breed of chickens that don't have to be supplemented? I always wondered that. If you had a chicken that was just free-ranging on its own, do they all have to be supplemented with grain?
Well, for the layers, you want to give them grain so that they get enough of everything they need to lay the egg. They put a tremendous amount of energy into laying that egg. With the meat birds, you wouldn't necessarily have to, but it depends how much time you want them to grow and how big you want, if you're going to raise a meat bird, you want it to get nice and plump,
right.
And they tend to stay skinnier eating natural off the ground. So you don't really have to feed the chickens, but you'll benefit from doing it.
Right.
And the chickens will be healthier and live longer also. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's interesting because I know a guy that lives around here who's trying to raise chickens without supplementing them. He says, I'm going to just try to grow different grains that they could eat and live on their own. And I never saw the man again, so I don't know how that worked out for him.
Well, growing the grains, the chicken feed is mostly made of grains too, so he is really supplementing them.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about on the ground where they do, eat bugs and weeds and things like that they find. And the bugs, of course, are full of protein, so they do get a lot of good things, but they aren't going to lay as well or be as healthy unless you supplement them with some kind of feed. But your chicken feed is mostly grains.
Right.
And there certainly are places that you can get recipes to make your own feed. It just tends to be expensive, and we all lead a pretty busy life, so it's easier to buy the feed and just make sure they always have it in front of them. And they offer the feed in organic as well as the regular type of feeds. So if you want to make sure it's grown on organic ground and stuff like that, it's available for them as well.
Okay, well, we're out of time for this segment. You've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk, Country Joe the Chicken Show, and we'll be back with more.
I'm a great chicken.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-caller technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Callers that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Pazin Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Pazin Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Pazin Silk website at pazinsilk.com to learn more about Pazin Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pazinsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. Chicken Joe, Country Joe, the Chicken Joe, blah, blah, blah. Don't give
there
me
we go.
Again.
Close enough, Karen. Close enough. Everybody knows. And we want to welcome Janice on our show today. Janice writes a lot of chicken books and cookbooks. And I was just looking in Backyard Poultry and looking at one of her books here, Chicken and the Egg. And Janice, tell us a little bit about that, how you got going on that and how you got into chickens.
I will. Well, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for asking me.
Sure.
Yes, my book, Chicken and Egg, a memoir of suburban homesteading with 125 recipes, was published last year. And it was a wonderful labor of love because what it is it's a cookbook about wonderful recipes of things you can do with chickens, but it also chronicles my first year of raising chickens, from baby one-day-old chicks to fully grown hens that have been laying me fabulous eggs for the last 5.5 years now. So, yes, so it kind of goes through the whole reason why I got into chickens, which basically I can tell you is because of the eggs.
Uh-huh. Now, what kind of chickens do you have?
Pardon me?
What kind of chickens do you have?
Well, I've got three currently. I've got two of my original chicks. I've had up to five chickens at one time, but right now what I have is I have an Americana Ericana chicken. Those are also called the Easter egg chicks.
Yes.
Because they lay the colored eggs. And one I've got is called Cleo, named after Cleopatra because of her eye-shading color.
Uh-huh.
And she lays fabulous olive green eggs. Then I have Roxanne, who is a Buff Orpington, which is a beautiful golden large chicken. She has a lot of beautiful feathers, and she's the head of the group, let me tell you that. She is the boss.
Uh-huh.
And the third chicken I have currently is Ruby, who is a Rhode Island Red.
Wow.
So there are 175 different varieties of chickens. And what I've found after getting into this, my chickens live in a suburban backyard, so I am not on a farm. But I could tell you that I have chicken envy for those who are on farms, because I would love to start collecting all the various varieties of chickens, because they are all so unique, the colorings, the types of eggs, and their personalities. So
that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me, exactly. But, yeah, so you started all these recipes. I'm gathering, are your original recipes, these 125, or?
Absolutely. They are all original recipes. And what I've done with the book is I've arranged the book by seasons. So we all the recipes run spring, summer, fall, and winter, because I cook according to the seasons, and of course chickens lay eggs, and what you get from chickens varies according to what season it is. As you know, in the spring and summer you get a lot of eggs, and right now the chickens are molting, losing their feathers, and you know the number of eggs we're getting is very little, and so the book follows that in terms of calling for the amount of eggs, et cetera. And, of course, how you cook with chicken will vary depending on whether you're grilling in the summertime or using long braises and roasts in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun that way, in that you can turn right to the time of year that you're in, and it will be recipes that run the gamut from appetizers all the way through desserts.
Wow. Wow. Now, Janice, other than Backyard Poultry, where else could we get this magazine or your book, your cookbook?
The book, you can get it, yes, you can get it through Backyard Poultry. You can also get the book at independent bookstores as well as online at Amazon.com and other large bookstores such as Barnes & Noble, et cetera, as well as Williams-Sonoma.
Wow.
So we're going to look for it online. Will you tell us again the exact title and your last name? Because just searching for Janice and chicken recipes is probably not going to lead right to it.
Okay. So the exact title of the book is Chicken and Egg, A Memoir of Suburban Homesteading with 125 Recipes. And it's by Janice Cole, C-O-L-E.
Excellent. So that would be easier for people to find.
Right. You can also find it under my website, which is janicecole.net.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a blog called Three Swingin' Chicks.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Uh-huh. Now, Janice, do you have any other books, or is this the only one that you currently have?
This is the only one that deals specifically with chickens. I have written other books, and I write for various companies and magazines and so forth. I'm also the food editor of the Cooking Club magazine, and so I do a lot of recipes and work for them as well as had a book published through them and so forth. But this is my one and only chicken book so far and one of my true loves.
Wow, that's interesting. How's it doing? Is it doing pretty good?
It's actually doing very good, yes. It's in its second printing, and it's been doing very, very well. So it appeals to people who dream about having chickens, who have chickens and want to know what to do with all the fabulous eggs, and those who eat their chickens, also the meat. And it also appeals to those who just simply like to eat chicken and egg and have absolutely no interest in raising chickens, but they love the recipes. So it really appeals to a wide variety of people across the board.
Well, and I'm sure it's very handy for people who have just gotten into raising chickens, because once those eggs start coming, you kind of realize that, yes, you've done scrambled eggs and you've done quiche, yes. And now what do you do before
you don't get them up?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yes, yes. So I'm telling you, there are lots and lots of recipes, as I said, from appetizers through dessert. Right now on the autumn section, I have orange glazed country ham and eggs, which is a fabulous breakfast dish. And we get into, in fact, tomorrow I think I'm going to be doing a Tuscan braised chicken with cannellini beans. And one of my favorites this time of the year for dessert is pumpkin spice cake with salted caramel sauce.
Wow, that sounds good. Jeez.
So there are easy recipes that don't require a lot of specialty ingredients, but they are unique recipes. So I think people have found them very interesting.
Boy, it does sound interesting. And then with the holidays coming, boy, I think everybody would like to get a copy of this book to send to somebody that has chickens. I'm sitting here thinking
about it. It's a great gift. I've had a lot of people buying the book for gifts and giving it to friends and neighbors who are thinking of raising chickens, who have just started raising chickens. It's great fun. So, it's been a very fun journey so far. I have to tell you, I also, when people ask me in the area, and I'm from the Midwest, I'm actually in Minnesota here, people have asked me to speak in the area, of course, about the book. And one of the interesting things is they oftentimes ask me to bring the chickens along with because I talk so much about the various personalities of my girls. And they want to meet the chickens. And so my chickens have traveled quite a bit. they've been to parks where I've done talks, to slow food groups. They've been to a restaurant, believe it or not. I was a little leery bringing them to the restaurant, but they assured me it was okay. And plus I've done cooking classes. I do them every summer for a group of inner city kids who learn to garden and take care of the environment. We do a cooking class. I teach them about raising chickens, and we do a cooking class together in the out-of-doors, doing various egg recipes. So my girls have been
excellent.
All over the place. Yeah. They are fabulous travelers, better than my cats, I can tell you that.
Well, no, we're almost out of time for this segment. Will you stick with us?
I will.
We'll be back with more of Country Joe the Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand. A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe the Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm Karen Watts, Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, and we've got Joe, and we've also got Janice, who is the author of a book, and she was just talking about her chickens. And I just have to say, Janice, before we get in more to more, you should certainly nominate one of your girls for Pet of the Day.
I think so too, Karen. I was going to say that. and that'll go on. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
That's right. And then you
I
can
definitely
tell,
will do that.
And you
Karen,
can tell
did you
people
tell her
they
how
can
to get on?
See their picture. Yeah, if you go to petoftheday.com and it's just somebody's pet's photo and story about why they're special every day. And we know Ruthie and all your girls each have their own special stories to tell.
Boy, I guess.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. And that way people who don't live in Minnesota and so aren't really in chicken traveling distance can get to meet them too.
There you go. There you go. I love it. Yes.
Now, Janice, do you have any other books that you're going to be coming out with or any ideas?
Pardon me?
Are you currently writing any other books or do you have any other ideas for other books?
I'm hoping to come up with something, but it's still in the works right now, so we'll see. You know, nothing that I can tell you absolutely, you know, on the air right now. So
that's a secret, huh?
Right.
That's good, Jan. We'll I like see. How you did that.
Right.
The program you mentioned with the working with inner city children, teaching them and introducing them to chickens and gardening sounds like it would be a fascinating project.
It is a great project. What I've found is that these kids are so eager to learn and they are so good with animals. Most of the children have never been around live chickens before, and you know, they can be a little scary sometimes if you've never handled them before. And I could say this because I know before I raised chickens, I was never around chickens, and they did scare me a little bit. So what we do is we just, you know, we of course mine are very friendly and very tame. Mm-hmm. And we talk about them. I basically tell them some interesting fun facts that a lot of them don't know, such as how you can look at the ears of a chicken and tell what color eggs they're going to lay, and those kinds of fun things like that. And then we let them feed the chickens treats, and I end up getting a good majority of the kids to end up holding these chickens by the end of the session. So they are held, and sometimes the kids don't want to give them back, I can tell you that. They become very possessive of their chickens, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a really fun way to introduce kids to where their food comes from.
That's really important, because that happens around here.
And learning that chickens don't come from McDonald's or don't come from the supermarket.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Right. Right. I think one of the reasons why I wrote the book and included the part about why the personalities of my chickens, why it became more than just a straight cookbook with the memoir portion attached also, was that I wanted people to find out what the whole chicken, what chicken as an animal is like. You know, in this country, we eat so many chickens and we eat so many eggs without giving any thought to it. You know, we have that piece of boneless, skinless chicken breast on our plate without ever thinking of what the animal is like, where it comes from. And I wanted people to begin to identify with when you actually read about and start to identify with individual animals, and start learning about the species that way, you start having more respect for the species itself. And through that, I was hoping that people would give more attention and more thought to where they purchase their food and the types of food that they do eat. I'm not a vegetarian. I do raise chickens, but I don't eat my own chickens because mine have been raised simply as pets.
Right.
But I certainly understand people who do, you know. However, I still eat chicken. And but so it's not a book about not eating the animals, but it's more of a way to think about how those animals are treated when they are raised for food, and hopefully getting people to think about where they purchase and using the farmers markets and so forth, and people who use pasture-raised chickens and pasture-raised eggs because they're healthier for you. You know, you have more omega-3s, less fats, less cholesterol in your eggs when you use pasture-raised eggs. So it's those kinds of issues that I'm hoping people will walk away from the book.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I do with my chickens, you know.
And children can be very flexible. They can learn. I remember when I got a rabbit, I got a pet rabbit, and my cousin's children asked me, well, you've got a rabbit. Is she an eating rabbit or a pet rabbit? And they had definite a distinction in their mind. And I said, no. She's going to be a pet rabbit. And so it was okay to name her and pet her and like name your chickens. And...
Right.
It's true. It's true. And that's going back to, you know, like I said, the school bus tours that come through here and how fascinated kids are. They have no idea where chickens live or how they live or where.
Exactly. Right.
And I always get a kick. I always end up laughing for days after they leave, you know, the questions they ask.
That's so great.
It's true.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. So, yes, I have to say, with me, one of the big challenges of raising chickens when I first started out was dealing with the weather in Minnesota. And that's one of the questions that I get all the time. is how do you deal with chickens in the wintertime? Down in Florida, you don't have that problem.
Yes, I know.
Although you
know.
Have the opposite problem of heat, which can sometimes be more challenging, I think.
Yeah, the ice, you know, the water icing up. When I read the articles in the magazine Backyard Poultry about getting the heaters for all of that, and I do wonder about it. Well, see, I'm originally from Vermont, Karen.
And, okay, so you're right. Okay.
Yeah, so I do know about the freezing and all of that
Absolutely.
That winter does happen.
Winter does happen, yes, and it's coming, and the chickens are never happy to see it come, I must admit. Right. But they're hardier than I think one would give them credit for. However, because mine are pets, they are pampered quite a lot, and their coop is very well insulated and very well heated. They do not suffer during the winter. But the first year that I had them, I had a fairly small coop that didn't have much insulation, and it didn't have much extra heat. And I ended up on Christmas Eve, when it dropped to 20 below zero, worrying so much about them that there we were at 11 o'clock at night running out to the coop and hand carrying each of the chickens into the house because I was so worried that they were going to freeze overnight.
20 below.
So the chickens spent Christmas with us inside in a dog kennel. I always have to add because I don't allow them to roam the house. And they ended up being in there for about a week.
Wow.
So I felt it was warm enough. Yeah. Well, so, you know, we soon got a bigger coop that was heated and insulated. So it rests a little easier now.
That's got to be the coldest place on earth. I thought Vermont was cold. But I think you got to speak.
That's right. And we can talk a little bit more about the fact that chickens can withstand some temperature differences because those feathers, they can puff out their feathers. And, of course, even here in the Boston area, we have lots of birds that spend the whole winter. And when it gets really cold outside, you know, the sparrows double in it looks like they're twice as big, but it's puffing it out so that just like you as a human are wearing a down jacket, well, chickens come with their downy feathers and their outer feathers and make their own insulation, too.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
It is very, very true, right. And you really can see them doing that, yep. And I have to tell you.
We're out of time for this segment, and we'll be right back with more Chicken Joe's Country Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Okay.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, and this is Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Radio, and we're here with Joe Barber, and we're also here with Janice, who has a cookbook called The Chicken and the Egg.
Yeah, that and very interesting book, too, I might add, which I'm going to buy some copies for my club members for Christmas. I've already decided that.
gosh, sounds great.
Yes. Yes.
And I think Cousin Ellen, who was very disappointed that last Thanksgiving she accidentally left home the 3 dozen eggs she was going to bring to distribute to family, I think she probably needs a copy too.
Yes, I'm thinking that. Yeah, yeah, that'd be good. I remember you telling me about that. Yes, and I can't wait for Janice to write another book.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You'll have to tell my publisher that.
Yeah, so you do.
What's interesting, I must admit, in the book, which when people look at it online, they'll be able to see, Chicken and Egg, A Memoir of Suburban Homesteading with 125 Recipes, has gorgeous photographs. The photographs were taken by Alex Farnham out in San Francisco, and as the publisher is out in San Francisco. And I am also a food stylist, meaning I style food for photography, and I mainly do it for the magazine that I work for. But as a professional in the industry, I can tell you these photographs are outstanding. I did not do them, unfortunately, but they are outstanding. And the publisher has published a collection of chicken photos that's also available online. And I believe you can look up the Chicken and Egg photographs, and it'll be under Amazon for sure, or you can go to Chronicle Publishing, and it will be both the book and the photographs are listed there, and these are suitable for framing. So I think that might be something all of your chicken lovers out there might enjoy taking a look at.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now you got me really curious about this book.
I
didn't realize that. It's like a cookbook.
Yes.
Wow. How many different pictures do you have in there?
You know what? I think there's at least about 20. Oh. Now, I think maybe they might have. There are pictures of food in here as well as pictures of chickens and coops and eggs and so forth. So what they've done with the photographs that are suitable for hanging is they've taken the pictures of the chickens themselves as well as the eggs and so forth. And they're just very unique, very beautiful photographs that would be perfect in any decor.
Wow.
So I think your listeners will find that very interesting.
Boy, Janice, you do a lot of different things.
I do a lot of different things. Those of us in the food world, we kind of dabble in many different things, and it's all great fun. It really is. As I said, I got into raising chickens mainly because of the eggs, and it was because of being in the food business. I originally was a chef. You know, I'd had so many great food experiences, but the time that I first tasted an egg fresh from the chicken, I couldn't believe it. The difference in flavor from a supermarket egg to a home-raised egg was just something I had no idea. And I just said, I've got to have my own. And my kids at the time were like, yes, we need more of these. And getting them proved to be difficult. You know, they sold out quickly at the farmer's market and so forth. And I started hearing about more people raising chickens. Although when I started doing this, as I said, almost 6 years ago now, there were not as many people raising backyard chickens as there are now. It was still something that wasn't quite done
yeah, like
as
accepted.
Much. No, it was not accepted. Yeah. And, of course, my husband wanted no part of it. He had, he thought of chickens the way many people do. He thought they were smelly, noisy, and would be very messy.
And I bet the chickens thought the same about him.
Oh, probably. No doubt. So we kind of went back and forth for a while on this until he finally just said, okay, you want to do it? It's your deal. And it's been my deal ever since, although he has come to love the chickens, and he worries about them as much as I do, and he takes care of them with me. He's really great. So they're my chickens, but he does help me out.
He carried them inside that Christmas Eve, too.
He did.
Yeah, there.
He did,
there
and he knew not to argue with me. He kind of knew not to argue that day.
When you get it, you always get a spouse, I guess, in this deal, and I've got one too that's not all that crazy about chickens. And And here she is living with almost 800-900 of them out here.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
She says, it's your deal. It's your deal. And I says, okay. And I'm loving it every minute of it. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. I'd love to have a little more land so I could start accumulating, collecting, I would say,
that's
the different varieties. Yes.
But if you're like Joe, you know, the more chickens you get, you know, the more room you want and the more coops you want to build. So
that would be a problem. Yes. I'm not sure 800 to 900 would qualify anymore as being pets.
That's what happened. The hobby got out of hand. I'm going to write a book.
Yes. Yes.
The
right.
Got out of hand.
Right. That's great though.
Now we're building another coop. Yeah. Yet another one. So I still got 6 acres I haven't used yet.
Oh, wow.
And you've got turkeys as well.
Yes, yes, I got turkeys.
Okay, okay.
For the holidays.
Now, And what types of chickens do you find down in Florida that seem to work the best for you?
Well, I got golden buffs. I had Rhode Island reds.
Okay.
These are my acres. But I got golden buffs, and of course I got the rare chickens too, but the golden buffs seem to really, really work out well down here. They tolerate the heat in the summer. Of course, we run fans.
They do, okay. Mm-hmm.
They do. I run fans. I have solar fans that come on during the day. It's ideal down here for solar. And they come on, they're direct. They blow all day long, and then at night they shut off automatically when the sun goes out. And that works out great down here. For those kind of chickens. And there's other breeds of chickens that work out well in the heat also, but I found these seem to be really great. And I did have some chickens. The Rhode Island Reds seemed to stress a little bit in the heat. And they would stay in the coop. They wouldn't go, you know, of course I got the large outside coops, but in the summertime, a lot of the chickens, they won't even come out. And I had to buy that, filtered screen, the black screen that you see. And I've got that. It filters like 80 or 90% of the sun. And they still don't really like to come out, but they do. The golden buffs are really, really acclimated to the heat.
Well, and they work really well in the cold, so they're really a great all-around chicken, I must admit. Because, my Forkington, she's just great up here in the cold. So, and of course, we have both the heat and the cold, so my chickens get to experience it all. We sometimes have weeks in the summertime that are like Florida.
Wow.
And at one point, I tried to do a little misting for my chickens. I had read that that would be a good way to cool them off, to do a light mist with a hose. And they didn't like that. So my chickens are not water lovers, I've decided.
Yeah, I did. I had a misting unit out here, and boy, they thought you were torturing them. You know, boy, they all.
Okay, right. Because I had read that that's a good thing to do if it's very, very hot. So
yeah, I did too. Yeah, I read that. So that's why I tried out.
Well, apparently none of your chickens had read that article. So
no, none of them had exactly.
The solar fans seem to work great down here. That's what really works for me.
I imagine. And I have a friend who has a solar heat that she heats her chicken coop with solar heat up here. So that's great if you can do it. I think it's wonderful.
It
that's
is.
Right. Up here where we have the deciduous trees, they provide shade in the summer, but in the winter the leaves are all gone, so then you can have your solar panels that will catch more sun.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes. Absolutely perfect. I need to become a little handier to be able to work that out for my own coop, however.
That's great. Janice, like I said, I'm very interested in this book now, and now I'm going to buy – I've already decided I'm going to buy four. I can see this now. There's four copies.
I love it. Great. Well, as I said, people can look it up online, Chicken and Egg, A Memoir of Suburban Homesteading with 125 Recipes. Mm-hmm. You can get it online at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble.
And anywhere
Williams
books are sold.
Period.
We Pardon are me? Out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Janice. And we've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Country Joe, the Chicken Show, and we'll be back next week with more.